Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at the text that we picked for the week in Colossians chapter 3. There's a song in our course book, and it says this: living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? And then that song, life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where can I go but to the Lord? That kind of goes along with our theme in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth or here below. Have you heard about the guy who said, some people call me self-centered, but that's enough about them? All right. Well, maybe you've known somebody like that. I've known a few, and I sometimes can be like that. There's some people that there's a whole lot of conversation about themselves. I heard a story about a guy like that, speaking of an airport. He arrived at the airport, and there was a long line at the airline ticket counter, and all of the ticket agents were doing their best. You may have been at an airport that had been like that, and they were doing their best to politely process each passenger as quickly as they could. But that wasn't fast enough for this man, and he was well-dressed, probably like me. At the end of the passenger line, and he became impatient, he was frustrated, he was waiting in line, and it was slow moving, and so he came barging up to the front of the line, and the ticket agent said, sir, as you can see, there are many passengers ahead of you. We're doing our best to process the passengers. I'm afraid you'll have to get back in line. And all of a sudden, he just kind of huffed and he puffed and he looked and he says, don't you know who I am? Without a beat, the airline person quickly picked up the public address system and said, attention, everybody in the airport, we have a medical emergency. There is a man at the ticket counter who does not know who he is. Anyone who may be able to identify this man is asked to please step forward and identify him. Now, the man quickly returned back to line, understanding his place. That question or demand, do you know who I am, is a me-centric philosophy. It's a way of thinking and living that says, I am the center of the universe, and everything should go the way I want it to go and the way that benefits me most. And so there's many times in our life that says, don't you know who I am? This text goes against that. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead. Amen. That is our place. Amen. Our place is death to self. Death to self. And this evening, I want to take a few moments to think about how to live on a higher plane. How can we live on a higher plane? And hopefully, as we look at our text, we can glean a few things that'll help us, especially as young people. I understand it's hard. All right, I am not going to tell you. There are certain things in I would say getting saved in some sense is simple. It really is. You trust Jesus. It's very simple. It's not necessarily easy. Because man, on our own, we don't like to rely on other people. It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature to rely on other people. There is an essence of self-dependence. All right, and that is a good thing to be self dependent as far as growing up. You're coming to a place that you should not. I'm hoping that at 30 years old, you're still not living with mom and dad. Now, if you still are and you're 30 years old, all right, you're a loser. No, I'm just, but all right, move out, okay? Mom and dad, I'm just trying to help you out. Move out, all right? But really, there is a sense of growing up to manhood, to womanhood, all right, becoming mature. So there is this idea, but sometimes we confuse that with the Christian life and we become self-dependent in the Christian life. That's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be. So how to live on a higher plane? Let's consider that this evening. Heavenly Father, pray that you would help. Lord, I yield myself completely to you. We ask for your sustaining grace. We ask that those things of the flesh would be put aside. And Lord, that you would magnify your word. Lord, it's an amazing thing to be able to take the precious word of God and bring it before folks. What an honor. Lord, we ask for you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the first two chapters of Colossians, so this is a Pauline epistle, and Pauline epistles normally follow a pattern. And usually the first half of the book is doctrinal, the second half is practical. So in the first two chapters, and I'm just going to give you a few points so you get the context of the book of Colossians. So let's go to Colossians 1, and you see verses 10 and 11. And here we see that there is strength to be had in the Christian life. Notice that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So there is strength to be had in the Christian life. Go down to verse 17. And it goes into verse 16 and 17 are now talking about where the strength is gained from. Notice, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. So who's the by him? That's Christ. Notice verse 17, and he is before all things and by all things consists. So we see that there is strength to be had in the Christian life. Then there is a person who is above all things. There is no man, there is no woman, there is nobody in comparison to Christ. Because in he was before all things, and by him all things consist. Then we go look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That is Christ. Then we go verse 6 and 7 of chapter 6. Because in here, now, gives us another thought. There is a path to walk for every believer. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we can gain strength. There is a strength to be had in the Christian life. There is a person who is above all things. And then he turns and he says, that person can be had by you and you can walk in him. He can allow you to have this life. And there's a path for you to walk. So then he goes in chapter 3 and he turns it and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So what is this idea of affections? What does this mean? So it's interesting when we'll just look at a few of them. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, if you're writing things down, just write a few of these verses down. But this word, set your affections. Actually, set and affections are kind of both the same thought. And so set your affections is also used in Romans 8 and verse 5. It's interesting, the word used here. It helps us in understanding. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so there's a word that is understood, mind. What's the word then? The same word for set your affection is, guess what? Mind. So you're minding the things of the flesh or minding the things of the Spirit. Notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12, same word here. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of, guess what? Your mind. Go down in chapter 12 and verse 16. Notice, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. That's the same idea of affections here. Then notice another passage that we know and we use often. The same word, set your affections, is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this, what? Mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So one other one, and this one I like a lot. So Jesus is talking to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. And Peter starts scolding Jesus. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest. That word savorest is the same word as set your affection, as let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm hoping that you're getting kind of a word picture. You're getting an understanding from different words of what God is telling us when he says you need to set your affections on things above. Because if you mind the things of the flesh, or if you're savoring the things of the flesh, that's what you're going to be, that's what you're going to be like. But he's saying you've got to be renewed in the mind. You need to set your affections. You need to savor that which is good. There's a difficulty, though. You know what the difficulty is? We live here below. There's a difficulty with living above. It's not always to think or live with heavenly goals or an eternal perspective. You know, the cliche is, you're so heavenly good that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. All right. I don't really think I've ever met anybody that way, just so you know. Okay. I think if we could be more heavenly, you'd be pretty earthly good. But it is sometimes hard to be heavenly minded when you're here living on the earth. There's a vocation. You're going to pick a vocation. All right, not all of you sitting here are going to end up being a preacher or a missionary. You're going to pick a vocation. And some of those vocations are just simply every day going to work and doing your job. It could be at a steel mill. It could be a police officer. It could be putting up drywall. It could be doing different things. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe you can think of your drywall in a heavenly way. But I don't know necessarily how to do that. All right, they're like, heavenlies, you know, put the drywall up. All right, sometimes it's hard. You're in a vocation. You want to think you're a young person, and you're going to think earthly. So what's earthly? One of the things is that you desire to have a mate someday. All right, and just let me put that. The word there is someday. All right, someday, not this week. All right, just so you know. All right, so not this week. But it's hard. You say, so how am I supposed to be heavenly minded? I don't know. Is there an angel? Actually, guys, well, there is. There's one. My wife. Look at that. All right. I had to say that because she's listening. All right. So anyways, but there really isn't. There's tons of fallen angels. All right. And ladies and men, you'll meet them. Some of you may marry one. All right. You may marry a fallen angel. Right, but you say, so how am I supposed to be heavenly minded, but there are things that earthly, down on this earth, we do have to do. Vocations. All right, marriage. I'm sorry, you're not going to marry an angel. All right, that'd be a little awkward. All right. Then there's houses, there's relationships. All of these are temporal, and yet we cannot necessarily live without them or without thinking about them sometime. Right? Those are all things that we have to do. So what is he saying here? Well, I read a story about a wealthy man, and he was driving his BMW, or you might say Bentley now. He's driving his Bentley, and he had an accident, and it was a really bad accident. And so the car was told, a policeman came on the scene, got out of the car, and as he approached the man, all he was saying was like, "Oh, my BMW. Oh, my BMW." And the police officer looked at him and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. We don't have time to worry about that. It's a BMW. It's just a car. We got to rush you to the hospital immediately. Your arm has been severed." And all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, my Rolex. Oh, my Rolex." All right. Now, guess what? He had a problem with, what would we say? Priorities. That's what this is talking about. It's priorities. And our priority, we have to continually work at making it heavenly. Making it heavenly. So it's hard. There's a difficulty with living above. But there's a danger of living below. What is the danger? Look at our text at verses 4 through 7. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So that's the upward. But look at verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." So who is Colossians written to? It's believers. It's believers. He's saying, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And what are these? So most would categorize verse 5 as sins of the flesh. Notice what he says. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So almost all of those are what we call sins of the flesh. And guess who he's writing to? Believers. When you have a tendency of living here below, believe me, teenagers, you'll have out of control lust. Out of control lust. It'll be bonkersville. And so we have to understand that living here below, you could say, "Well, I'm saved. I'm done." No, no, no. This is written to believers. And it's saying, mortify these things. It's sins of the flesh. Notice in verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." So what should that tell you as a believer? The danger of living here below is when I live in this flesh, I am bringing what? The wrath of God upon my life. You'd say, "Wait a minute, I'm saved," but the wrath of God can come on your life, and I've seen it happen here on this earth. Yes. Yes, sir. It's a danger of living here below. Look at verse 8. "Most would call these sins of the Spirit. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." So these are sins of the Spirit. These are things, G. Campbell Morgan said this. He called these sins in good standing. We are so accustomed to anger or critical attitudes or lying or coarse humor among believers, we're no longer upset or convicted about these sins. And we should be shocked to see a church member, or we are, when we see a church member commit sensual sins, but we'll watch him lose his temper in a business meeting, and we call it righteous indignation. I actually call it sin. It's a sin of the spirit. And we put up with it. We put up with these things. These are all living below. Then I put verse number nine, "Lie not one to another," in its own category. I say sins of the flesh, sins of the spirit, and then there's sins of deception. All of those need to be mortified. So I want to give you four helps this evening to help you live, hopefully, on a higher plane. some helps for living above. We sang, or I read the words, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? That's what I believe a lot of Christians, this last thing, striving alone to face temptation sore. And you've been trying. Young people, you're trying. So I'm trying to have some empathy with you. It's hard. It's very hard. And on your own, you're gonna say, forget it. Why keep at this? But the solution is in our text. So number one, notice what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek, have direction. Have direction. Notice this is an imperative. In verse 1 and verse 2, there are two imperatives. These are commands. What do we mean by that? It's a compulsory thing. You're compelled to do this. You're confident. This is not coincidental. It's not carefree. It's not just haphazard. You're setting, you're seeking, you're going about this. It's a concerted, conscious, continual effort. It's not carefree. It's not casual. It's not just a calloused attitude. It means to be proactive. I'm not passive about this. I am seeking. That's what I'm doing. I have direction. I am seeking. You'll have to make seeking Christ a priority, young person, or you will have no strength, no power on your own over the old man. You must make it a priority. I am seeking him. That's the direction I'm going. So, in have direction. Let me just challenge you, young people. Start simple. Start tonight. Say, you know what? I'm going to start seeking him. So the best way to do that is get somebody to help you. Be open. Be accountable with somebody. They'll help you. The Bible tells you that. If you just go in and get somebody to help you, you know what you'll find? You'll find that that two people is better than one. So have direction and simply get someone to help you with this. Number two, look at in verse two. So in verse one, it's seeking. That's have direction. Verse two, set your affection. What is that? Have purpose. Have purpose. So I'm seeking. I have direction. All right? I am seeking. It is a command. I am not haphazard about this. I'm not carefree about this. This is something that's very important to me. I'm taking it serious. And so then, you will make action on this. If you do not, but what the Bible says is you will live below. Secondly, you have to set. That's purpose. And you'll notice that both of these things are commands. The word signifies, and we already said this, this signifies a mind. It signifies thinking on these things. It signifies that my affections are on these things. John Gill said this, be as much in earnest for heavenly and eternal things as ye formerly were for those that are earthly and perishing. And so we need to have directions. We're seeking. We need to have purpose. We're setting. All right, and this is an imperative again. There was one time a man walking through a downtown area, and he was walking by windows, and there was a mannequin in one of the windows. And then, as he was staring, all of a sudden the mannequin blinked, and he realized that it was a live mannequin. Pretty soon, a bunch of other people noticed. Either some movement or whatever, but then the mannequin asked for it. They were going ballistic trying to get the mannequin to move now. I mean, they were doing everything. They were just, you know, running up against the glass. They're doing everything trying to get the mannequin to move. And guess what? The mannequin did a pretty good job and stayed still. Why? They were focused on whomever was paying them. They knew that if they weren't a good mannequin, they weren't going to get paid. And in the same way, you and I are in this world, and there's going to be the devil, the world, and the flesh, and they're going to do all kinds of things to distract you from setting your affections on things above. And so guess what it is? It's now, it can be a phone. It can be social media. I was just talking with Pastor Smith. It saddens my heart that a seventh or eighth grader has to be addicted to TikTok. Or to Snapchat. This is my recommendation to you guys. Get rid of it. Get somebody and be accountable with those things. I can tell you there are some good pluses to having a phone. There's some good pluses to different things. But if you aren't willing to be accountable under your authority, then guess what I know? You're living below. You're living below. If you're not willing to open up about those things, then obviously it controls you. And think about that. When you get to heaven, you're going to sit there and God's going to say, hey, so I gave you a home, and I gave you this, and I gave you Christ, and I gave you a Bible, and I gave you all these things. What did you do with it? Oh, I did some TikTok videos. What did you do with it? What did you do with what God has given you? You see, we've got to set its purpose. Its purpose. Then notice in our text, in verse 3 and 4. So we have direction, we have purpose, so we seek, we set. Then notice in verse 3 and 4, we find new power. Notice, for ye are dead. Well, that doesn't sound like new power. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what, some of you, and I went through a time in my college years, and I'm glad that I had somebody that pointed me to scriptures and pointed me to Christ, because I had a time that, man, I was a little shaky on some assurance. And some of you young people, you're shaky on your assurance. And if you get in scripture, guess what? I have life in Christ, in God. That's what I have. So my assurance will come and be built if I get back to Christ. So notice, your life is hid. Notice what it says, when Christ, who is our life. If you notice back in chapter 2, notice in the chapter 2 in the text, if you go back to it starts in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. And then it goes through some talking about beware of different things. Then in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also, notice what it says, ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And then back in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Notice that life comes by connecting to a resurrected Savior. We have a resurrected Savior. So I can have that new power to do what? All right? To have a direction. And that is seeking those things which are above. And then I can set my affections. I can start immersing myself into that which will make me be thinking about those things that are above. And then, am I supposed to do this on my own? No! I have new life. I have new power. And it's in Jesus Christ. It is not in you, young person. You can't do it. I can't do it. Notice, remember in the text, I know of young people. I know of 20-year-olds. I know of 30-year-olds. I know of 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. That guess what they're caught up in? Fornication and adultery and all that. And they're believers. Oh, I don't know if they're saved. You know what? It's not my job. They say they're saved. But guess what they didn't do then? They didn't find new life. in Christ. You on your own, you will live in defeat. You will live below. You will never live with that affection set on things above when you don't finally realize that in your own strength, you're going to flop every time. It is Christ. We sing a song, Christ is all I need, but it's words to some of you. It is just that. When you find that Christ is all you need, you won't care about your friends. You won't care about what you look like. You won't care about ambitions. You won't care about your future. All you will care about is pleasing Him because you've set your affections on things above. So find new power. So we have direction, we seek. We have purpose, we set. We find new power. And that is found, and you are hid, who is our life. But then, finally, verse 5. So, I have direction, I have purpose, I have power. So here's the last thing you're going to do. And this is the hard thing, young people. Learn to fight. What does it say? Verse 5. This is legal murder. You are allowed to kill yourself. It is. Like, yes, finally, legal killing. Yep, yourself. Mortify, therefore, your members. You know, there's a lot of people, they're like, oh, let's just be positive. Can we be positive tonight and just... we're uplifting each other. We're seeking above. All right. And we're doing all that. But guess what? There's negative in Scripture. There's negative warnings. There's negative commands. This is why Paul wrote, mortify. No amount of positive talk about health will cure your ruptured appendix. You can talk all you want, but until we negatively cut you open and get it out, you're going to be hurting, man. Gardener can talk about the fruit and he can talk about all the harvest he wants, but until he goes in there and kills the weeds and pulls the weeds, it's going to take over. You can talk about it all you want. But here in this passage, it says, for we, look at verse 3, ye are dead. It's put to death. We've died with Christ. We have spiritual power to slay that earthly, fleshly desires that want to control us. Paul called this to reckon yourselves, to be alive unto God. We have the power to do it, but some of that in the Christian life, God leaves up to you to take that and kill that flesh. God has taught me about this over the last few months more and more. The idea of the Spirit of God, because through the Spirit of God, young people, if you learn to have a walk with the Spirit and you yield to Him, and this is something you have to do over and over. You got to do this every day. Even this afternoon, I was praying and I was saying, God, I got to yield over to You. You take everything. Take out the anger. Take out the bitterness. Take out those things. Those are all works of the flesh. And I have to do that. And I'm an old geezer. And guess what you got to do as a young person? You're not strong enough. Some of you young men, you're strong physically. But physical strength cannot defeat this. It's too powerful. But guess what? Christ, who is our life, He can give you victory. It is an imperative. Notice in the text, it says to mortify. Mortify these things. And then later on in verse 8, it says put off. These are imperatives. It's the same idea. These same verbs in Matthew 14 mean, it was translated put. In Acts 7, it was lay down. In Romans 13, it was cast off. In Ephesians 4, it was put off. Ephesians 4:25, put away. In Hebrews 12:1, lay aside. In James 1, lay apart. Guess what it's telling us to do? Grab a hold of these things and get them away. So you have to do it. No parents can do this for you, young people. You have to do it. A parent see, and I've been there myself, and I've been there with parents, and they're heartbroken. I've been there with pastors, I've been there with youth pastors, and guess what? We sit there, and all we can do is watch. Because at some point, it's you. You have to put it off. You have to lay it aside. You got to kill it. But the beauty is, you don't have to do it by yourself. Christ, when he becomes your life, you have the power to do it. There was a missionary many years ago that left Liverpool, England to go to Africa. And when he arrived, there was an outbreak of disease in the area where he was supposed to go. Thousands had already died, and he devoted his time to helping the sick, sharing Christ with those on their deathbeds. One day, a trader came to him and said, "Sir, if you stay here, you'll die." The missionary nodded his head and he said, "Friend, I died before I left Liverpool. That's why I'm here." This old man has got to be put to death. And that's the weird thing. They say cats have 9 lives. Your flesh has more than that. As I've been killing this old flesh, there are some days that I haven't. It's true. I've been saved for over 40 years. And there are some days that my flesh, because I haven't killed it, it took over. And young people, you know that. It does that for you. I regret it. It bears horrible fruit. Regrets, guilt, shame. I've never gone back on a day or two that my flesh has really just won. And when God finally pierces through my heart, I've never gone, it wasn't that bad. When Christ finally breaks through in the Spirit of God, and if you develop a relationship with him, he'll come in and just nudge you and squeeze. And it just hurts. So that's why I know I'm saved. And young person, it gives you sweet assurance in knowing that. Oh, I'm saved, but I so let down my Savior. And you've done that. So let Christ come in and help you have victory. One person wrote this many years ago. "More than conquerors through him who loved us." Read the promise o'er and o'er. Not almost or very nearly, but conquerors and more. When the world of sin would lure me, is there victory for me? Can I stand against the pressure and a conqueror truly be? When the tempter, like an angel, garbs himself in robes of light, can I recognize his cunning and be a victor in the fight? And when passions rise within me, anger, jealousy, and pride, can I still be more than conqueror when by these I'm sorely tried? By myself I'm weak and helpless, and I'll fall in sore defeat. As upon life's rugged highway with temptation I shall meet. Oh, but with Christ, oh, blessed assurance, more than conqueror I shall be as I yield him full possession and he lives and reigns in me. Close with Isaiah chapter 40. I used it on Sunday night. I had to share another eagle story. My little friend on Monday had to share an eagle story, so I found another one. And Isaiah 40 and verse 28, "Hast thou not known, Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. That's you guys. That's not me anymore. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. A man was talking. And he was traveling in Switzerland. And he saw an eagle there on display. And he said that he looked at it and then it spread its wings. And it was so glorious. It was so mighty looking. And then he noticed that there was chains hooked to the eagle. There was this king of birds meant to soar into heaven, chained to the earth. Now they did it so people could come by, but he said it hit him as he was walking by. Here this eagle is supposed to soar. It's supposed to have victory. And young person, so are you. But what you've got to be willing to do is to follow Scripture. And what do you have to do then? Seek. Have direction. Set. Have purpose. Then you need to find new life. And then the hardest one, and I'm telling you, it is the hardest thing. Mortify. Learn to kill that old man. Daily do it. It'll cause you fits. The devil will promise so many rewards. He'll promise you so many blessings. He'll promise you the world. He did to Christ. Why wouldn't he do it to you? But guess what? The bitter fruit that is reaped from this flesh is rotten. So let Christ release the chains and soar. Be victorious. Because in your own strength, you'll fail.